Here are some passages about the fool in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 18, 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Proverbs 17, 21. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. May God bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, everybody. It's so glad to see all of you here today. My name is Bo. I'm on staff here as the downtown coordinator, and it's my privilege today to open up the word as we talk about the biblical fool. Now, this is going to be a great sermon to take notes for because there's going to be a lot of information that is thrown at you. So if you are one who likes to take notes, there's definitely going to be a lot of information. There's also going to be some opportunities where I ask what your thoughts are. So start preparing yourselves of how you will answer. The first thing being, I asked in the weekly email, what are some ways that the world views the fool? And nobody responded. So all of you who have been thinking about that, get your mind back into what you were going to send me but forgot to send me, and then I'll ask you in just a minute. So before we jump into the text this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we do not want to be fools. We want to be wise. And I pray that we would all be humble to realize when we have been foolish, that we'd be quick to repent, that we'd be quick to listen and quick to understand. God, as we open up your word, as we are convicted by your spirit, I pray that hearts and lives would be changed because of your word, not because of anything that I say, but that people would hear the word and that it would change hearts and that it would change lives and that it would lead to flourishing of individuals and in our community. Give us humility to hear what you have to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I asked, what does the world think of fools? What are some attributes of fools that the world considers foolish? Anybody have any ideas off the bat? Shout them out if you got them. Fools rush in. Good. There's songs about fools. There's lots of songs about fools, but that's usually in reference to what? Falling in love too quickly or with the wrong person. Think about Everybody Plays the Fool or Chain of Fools. Some really good songs, but also really sad songs. We have April Fool's Day. Speaks to trickery or being gullible. There's Fool's Gold, which looks like gold, but might trick somebody who is not experienced to know the difference. We use a fool's errand, meaning that no matter how hard you try, it's just not going to happen. What does Mr. T say? I pity the fool. We say, I've made a fool of myself, or you have made a fool out of me. Pop culture's idea of foolishness is really more about like silliness or laziness or like a dimwit. I think if we think about fools, most people have more like a court jester idea in their head. And what I hope that we discover today as we open up the Bible is that that's really not what the Bible says a fool is. I was doing a lot of Googling trying to see, like, what do people consider as foolish? And do you know the top two, like, pop culture characters that were listed as the fool? Any guesses? Homer Simpson and Michael Scott. And now certainly they have made some foolish decisions, but they're really not in line of what the Bible says is fool. They're more like a lovable buffoon, but they have a good heart. So there are actually five Hebrew words that are used to describe the fool in the book of Hebrews. And some say that you start on one and you move up gradually through these levels, and it's a definite order. I'm not qualified to say whether I believe that that's true or not, but there are five different words. I see at least three different levels, because there's three different words that are used for fool, and then we have the simple and the scoffer. But I think we're going to see that when the Bible talks about fools, it's vastly different than what the culture says. We see three of these words at the beginning of Proverbs. It says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? And how long will fools hate knowledge?" It's important to remember before we go into all of these words that biblical foolishness is not a matter of the intellect, meaning you're not smart enough. It's about morals, it's about character and ethical deficiencies and opposition to wisdom and the way of God. Because one can be really highly intelligent and have a lot of facts and know a lot about the world, and they can make really foolish mistakes with their lives. As we're going through this part, you most certainly will say, as we hear some of these proverbs, you'll say, "Ooh, I know someone who is like that." And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll also recognize, "Ooh, I have been like that in the past too." There is hope for the fool. There is hope for the fool. Let's keep that in mind as we go through that. So, the first type of fool is the simple fool, that is pethi. Everybody say that, pethi. That is the Hebrew word that is translated in the ESV as simple. Sometimes it's translated as naive. And so we have some proverbs about the simple. "To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth." That's the purpose of the book, one of the purposes. "The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." So based on just those proverbs, what kind of traits are we starting to understand about the simple? Be brave. Shout it out. What do we got? Write it down as you're thinking about it. So what do we see about the simple? What do they need? What do they lack? Foresight. They lack foresight. Good. What? Gullible. Yes. Extremely open-minded. They're lacking sense. They are teachable. They're teachable in either wisdom or folly, but they are teachable. And this is how all of us start, by the way. We all start as the simple fool, and whether we become wise or a fool depends on who we follow. But gullible, simple, open-minded, lacking sense, easily persuaded, easily enticed, capable of being misled. This type of fool needs to learn things the hard way. They really prefer easy fixes, and easy fixes so that they're not uncomfortable. For someone who's mourning, they'll try to quick put a band-aid on it because they don't want to see the discomfort of someone else. They don't want to feel that discomfort themselves. It's kind of like the mindset of someone who continues to believe in fairy tales. They're naive to the danger. They go on. They don't see the danger, and they suffer for it. And they're destroyed by their complacency. At what point, though, does the simple become a fool? Because it says the simple will inherit folly. And at a certain point, you're no longer a simple person. Zach Eswine in his book says, "The problem with naivete isn't its openness, but its unwillingness to close the door even when evil wants in." Now, to the simple, they need to be taught the way of wisdom. And there are competing invitations from wisdom and folly, which we'll see next week. Both wisdom and folly say to the simple, come and learn from me. And Jason is going to walk us through that next week. And in a similar way, Jesus says to those who are simple, come, follow me, learn from me, abide with me, learn the way of wisdom. So what the simple need is to learn prudence, and fools need to learn sense. And it says, leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. So that's just our first level of fools. And we've all been that level of fool at one point in our lives. And hopefully we have moved on from being a simple fool into the way of wisdom. Unfortunately, sometimes we move into the way of the fool. The next type of fool is, it looks like evil, but it is evil. Say that, evil. I also wanted to mention that H191, that number, is for the concordance. If you go to a biblical concordance and you look up that number, you will see a list of every verse in the Bible that uses that word. It's very helpful when you're doing a word study. And for the Proverbs about the fools, when you see all of them next to each other, it's really quite enlightening and can be a little bit like, whoa. And it's also can be really helpful to be like, oh, I didn't understand that that's what that word meant here. So if you're doing a word study, which I highly recommend, use the concordance to see how the word is used in the Bible. It's very helpful. It's very helpful just to understand how the Bible uses the words in general. We don't want to place our own understanding on the words that are used in the Bible. Okay, point made. Moving on. So evil is used 19 times throughout the book of Proverbs. And some people use this one and the next type of fool kind of interchangeably. Some say this one is not quite as bad as the other one, but this is evil. So a couple proverbs about this type of fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. The vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. If a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. So we're starting to see something that is a little bit more willful, are we not? What kind of characteristics are we seeing about the evil? Stubborn, arrogant. Yep. Anything else? Proud. Good. This is someone who shows no self-restraint. This is the type of fool that you recognize as soon as they open their mouth. Like, they seem wise, and then they start talking. You're like, oh, this person is a fool. They're irresponsible, proud. There's some moral perversion. There's some insolence, even. It says that in the book of Proverbs, it says that the evil despises wisdom and instruction. This is the type of fool that is quick to speak, that is quick to anger, that doesn't care to understand, and is self-deceived. So what kind of hope is there for this type of fool? This fool can be corrected if you correct them. Maybe not in the moment, but depending on their level of humility, or they start to recognize the discomfort of their actions, and they start not liking the consequences of their actions, and that can humble this type of fool as well. And sometimes they can be corrected. But, as it says in that last one, there is an unwillingness to let go of the folly. The fool, this type of fool, cannot let go of his folly because he wants it. There's lots of quarreling. There's arguments. The fool only rages and laughs. This really sounds like social media, no? And it gets worse. This is just the first level of fools. This type of fool really needs humility, and they need the fear of the Lord. It's so that they can receive wisdom, and they need a humble heart to be able to receive that wisdom and instruction. Are you ready to take the next step? It gets worse for our next type of fool. That is kasil. And this is the type of fool from that first verse that we read today that hates knowledge. Kasil is used 49 times in the book of Proverbs, and there are more warnings about this type of fool than any other type of fool in the entire Old Testament. So, here we go. It's gonna get worse. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. A couple months ago, there was some discourse about would women rather be trapped in the woods with a bear or with a man? And this is saying something along those lines, that it'd be better to come between a mama bear and her cubs, and basically you're going to be ripped to shreds by that. It'd be better to do that than to come across a fool in his folly. It's a pretty stark warning there. It gets worse, though. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is a pleasure to a man of understanding. A couple more here. A desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but to turn away from evil is an abomination to fools. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than him. And that's a warning to us to not be hasty in his words. So what are we seeing about the kasil fool? What kind of traits do we see? Come on. Loves foolishness. Okay. Something over here. Puts his foot in his mouth. His words are actually pretty harming. And this fool doesn't really care. Or they will say, I'm sorry that you did that, but you made that. And here's just a little free advice for you. If you are apologizing and then you say but, you basically just cancel out the entire apology and you make it about whatever the second half was, which is usually blaming the other person about how they made you sin against them. Just a little free advice for you there. But this type of fool is heartless. This fool hates knowledge. This type of fool cannot let any insult, whether it's perceived or real, they cannot let that go unanswered. They are determined to make the wrong choices. The translation of this one is literally like kind of like fat on the bones, meaning that this type of fool is stubborn and obstinate and determined to be in their way of folly. They enjoy their folly, and they are closed off to understanding. And actually, they're dangerous to be around. The companion of this type of fool is harmed. They're not teachable. And they don't apologize. I think this is vastly different. I hope you see now that this is vastly different than what the world considers a fool. Now, again, sometimes this fool, you can offer them correction, and they probably will not receive that correction in the moment. They may come to their senses at a later time. And again, if the consequences of their actions are more negative than their folly, then they may come to their senses. Or if the usually the person they are in community with, whether that's a spouse or a child or a parent, is tired of putting up with that, and they realize that this relationship is going to be irreparably harmed, then the fool will seek help at that point. But it's going to take the work of God to change the heart. Now, what do we do to respond to this fool? In Proverbs 24, it says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." And so if you, in your answering to the fool, are going to become like a fool yourself, it is not worth responding to the fool. Sometimes you need to be willing to move on and let that fool go. But on the other hand, in the very next verse in Proverbs 24, it says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own wise." Because here's the thing, the fools are usually surrounded with other fools or the simple. And sometimes when you correct this fool, the simple actually can learn something from it. And so if you know that he is not going, that if you answer the fool, then he will realize that he is actually not all he thinks he might be. You have to discern the heart to determine whether a response is appropriate. But you don't want to move down to the fool's level and by doing so become a fool yourself. But sometimes correcting a fool can actually be corrective and can actually lead the simple to learn. So that's like level 2 of the fool, but there's an even worse level as we move to the last 2 words, and that is the scoffing fool. So we have lutz, which is translated as the scorner, the mocker, or the scoffer, and this is used 14 times throughout the book of Hebrews. It's easy to recognize because it's most often translated as scoffer. So how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing? Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. Some translations say with insolent pride. These are not good adjectives. A scoffer seeks wisdom in vain, but knowledge is easy for a man of understanding. The devising of folly is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to mankind. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Condemnation is ready for scoffers, and beating for the backs of fools. What do we see about the scoffer? What kind of art traits are we seeing now? Unteachable. Arrogant. Prideful. And unfortunately, evangelistic in his ways. He wants to draw others into his scoffing. There's a contempt for the truth. There's a contempt for wisdom. And actually, there is an intent to harm others in the scoffing. Unfortunately, this type of scoffing fool does not preclude them from holding positions of power within institutions, businesses, even in churches, because even though they may be foolish, they're usually quite talented at what they do. And the company or the church or the government institution says, "Yeah, but look at how much money they bring in for us." Or, "Look at how many people are coming to our church. Yeah, he's a little bit arrogant, but look at how many people and how much money he's bringing into the church." And what happens is instead of protecting the simple and protecting the wise, the scoffer himself is the one who gets protected. And wisdom is actually not sought after at all. And a lot of pain follows the scoffer. There's lots of warnings about how to interact with a scoffer, telling us that a scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. Why would he go to the wise? He's wise in his own eyes. But even worse is that whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse. And he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. It straight out says, do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. But if you reprove a wise man, he will love you. When a scoffer is punished, and that means in a court of law where he's fined, the simple can become wise when a scoffer is punished. And when a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. But if we drive out a scoffer, the strife will go out and the quarreling and abuse will cease. We have to leave this scoffer over to God, because sometimes this scoffer does not repent. But we can also take hope that the scoffer is going to not be a scoffer forever. In Isaiah 29:20, it says, "For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off." The scoffer has to be turned over to God to be able to have the heart change that happens. We're not capable, and we can actually be harmed by the scoffers. Anybody feeling depressed yet? It's a vastly different picture than what the world paints as folly, right? It's so much more sinister than what we think when we hear the word fools. There is one more word for fool. Now, this one is not as common, but it's worse than the other two fools. This is Nabal, and this is also translated as fool. It's only used three times in the book of Proverbs. Now, if you just look at those three Proverbs, you might not have a good sense, so you know what question I'm going to ask you, so have in mind what it's going to be. But it says, fine speech is not becoming to a fool, still less is false speech to a prince. He who sires a fool, that's Kasil, gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool, Nabal, has no joy. Under three things the earth trembles, under four it cannot bear up: a slave when he becomes king, and a fool when he is filled with food, an unloved or hated or hateful woman when she gets a husband, and a maid servant when she displaces her mistress. Any good sense of what that word means? This is a case where it's actually helpful. If you look up how the word is used in the rest of the Bible, it will make more sense, because this is the type of fool in Psalm 14:1 that says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds, and there is none who does good. In reference to the people of God constantly forsaking the covenantal relationship with the Lord of hosts, it says, do you thus repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Is not he your father who created you, who made you, and established you? And finally, in Isaiah 32, it says, the fool will no more be called noble, nor the scoundrel said to be honorable. For the fool speaks folly, and his heart is busy with iniquity, to practice ungodliness, to utter error concerning the Lord, to leave the craving of the hungry unsatisfied, and to deprive the thirsty of drink. What do we know about this fool now? There is wickedness in this type of fool. It's sometimes translated as wicked or vile, ignoble, disgraceful. Again, only God can change this heart. There's actually a story in 1 Samuel 25 of Abigail and Nabal. And if you know the chronology of the Old Testament, 1 Samuel comes before the book of Proverbs. And it's a lesson that Nabal, in the story, is a Nabal. He treats the king disgracefully. He's turned over God and he dies because of his folly. Whereas his wife Abigail says, please don't listen to my husband. Here, take some supplies, take some food. And she is seen as wise. So we have a stark example of the wise and the fool. And how would you like your name to be Fool? It's pretty determinative, it sounds like. But again, this type of fool, along with a scoffing fool, you have to turn over to God and trust that, if not in this lifetime, in the next, that they will be dealt with according to their disgrace. So really, what I hope that you see now is that folly comes down to what is in the heart. We go back to that verse I had at the beginning. It says that the simple love being simple, and the scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Those are all words that speak to what we treasure and value. And so the fuel of a foolish heart, there's an aversion and there's an opposition, depending on what level you are, to knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. There is speech and there's behavior that is really harmful to people. There's really high levels of selfishness with the fools because they don't really care about anybody but their own opinion, and they don't care if other people are hurt. They live as if God does not exist at all, and they think that they're actually being really wise. Whatever our heart is fixed on is what we are going to drift towards. Here's a fancy word for you. We are teleological beings. That means that our hearts cannot help but worship, and whatever they are focused on is what we are going to be moving towards. God designed us to be worshiping creatures. The problem is not that we don't worship. The problem is that we worship the wrong things. We search for other gods, and we readily bow down to them instead of to God. Proverbs 17:24 says, "The discerning sets his face towards wisdom, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth." They're looking for any and every false god to bow down and worship to. 1 Corinthians 2 talks about the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of the Spirit, and we don't have time to read the whole thing, but it says the world actually gets it backwards, because the best news of all time is foolishness to the world. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And it talks about how the wisdom of the world is folly, but our wisdom is folly to the world. And there is a spiritual wisdom that actually allows you to see things as they properly are. So 1 Corinthians 2, spend some time thinking about that this week to contrast the wisdom of the world versus the folly. So you've probably thought, ooh, I have been a fool. I know as I study this, I think, wow, I've been really foolish. Or you may say, I'm married to a fool. Or my child is a fool. Or my parents are a fool. And so is there hope for us? And how do we combat folly? Let's talk about us, because we have all been fools, right? Raise your hand if you have been foolish. Everybody should have their hand raised. Because sin makes us all fools. We turn to idolatry, we bow down and worship them, we live as if there is no God. Or we say, I'm going to set God aside so that I can worship this God, whatever it may be. So, what do we do? If we have been fools, we can repent. As Caitlin said, repenting is turning. We can turn from our folly. We can confess our sin because we have a sympathetic high priest who is ready to forgive us and is ready to help us. And if we abide with him, he is graciously going to teach us the path of wisdom. We probably we'll also need to ask forgiveness from those that we have wronged, either by our words or our actions. Another way is by getting the word into your whole life. Know it intellectually. Know it in your heart. Speak the word of God. Live it out. Go back and read and reread Proverbs chapters 1 through 9. I don't know if any of you have basically underlined the entirety of Proverbs 1 through 9, but my Bible of 1 through 9 is more underlined than not, just as I go back and through. I'm like, wow, there is a lot to meditate on in these first 9 chapters. Also, be humble. Be open to instruction, correction, even rebuke. Be the opposite of the fool. Be quick to listen, and listen for the sake of understanding, not just to respond or defend. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Maybe you might need counseling. And when I say counseling, I'm referring to biblical counseling, which is different from talk therapy. Think of it more like focused discipleship, where you say, I have a problem with this, and I want to know what the Bible says how to deal with it. And you come alongside a brother or sister who is able to disciple you and point you to the truth and point you to the ways of wisdom instead of the path of folly. Just last week, I don't know if most of you know this, but my job technically changed with the impending arrival of our pastor, Josh Casey, which is coming very soon in just a couple of weeks. My role is now half-time downtown and half-time with the counseling ministry. And a lot of times for the counseling ministry, what we see is people seeking counseling as a result of the consequences that they're experiencing because of their foolishness. It's very, very rare that you would get someone saying, I need help for foolishness. You get someone who's saying, my marriage is falling apart. I need help. I need you to fix this. And most of the time in those cases, I'm the person who receives all of the intake forms of someone asking for counseling. There's a question on there that says, how often do you go to church? The answers for those are almost never. How often do you read the Bible? Rarely. Do you pray? Rarely. Do you have devotions with your family? Rarely. And so there are practical things that we can do that will prevent us from going down the path of folly. Because as you have the words of Christ in your mind, you may think, oh, this is a really bad idea. Maybe I shouldn't do that. Now, we still sin. We are all capable of sinning and capable of great folly. And sometimes we just need help. Which brings me to my last point of whether it's counseling or not, be in community with other believers. Be in community with wiser believers. Those who can say, I don't think that's a path you want to go down. Those who can warn us, who can say from their own experience, that's a path I have already gone down. And let me tell you, it is not fun. You can do whatever you want. But if you want to be wise, then I would probably avoid that. So that's if we have been fools. But what about if we have fools in our lives? Because there are people that we love in our lives. Maybe, like I said, maybe you're married to this type of fool, or this is one of your children, or this is one of your parents, or a close friend. How do we respond? This is a little bit harder because you have to discern the heart of the person to know how to respond. And to this, we can look at how Jesus responds to the different types of fools. To the simple, he offers teaching and instruction. To those who have maybe, you know, not quite the simple motives and that may have a little bit more foolish motives, he's a little bit more reserved with his words. And he's also willing to move on when people are foolish. He also offers warnings of woe to those who think that they are doing the right thing but are actually not. We have to learn to discern the heart. Is this someone who is teachable? Then we can teach them. Is this someone who, by my response, could be corrected? I could correct them. Is this someone who is going to physically harm me if I correct them? That's not, the Bible says to not do that so we don't get harmed. We have to consider carefully how we are going to respond. We also need to allow the natural consequences to happen. Sometimes fools can only learn by suffering the consequences of their behavior. And sometimes it means setting boundaries. You can continue to love people in your life, but you can say, if you're going to continue to speak like that, or if you're going to continue to have this behavior, especially in front of my children, I'm not going to allow that because I don't want them to be taught in the way of folly. You can say, I'm willing to love you, I'm willing to talk to you, but if you talk about this topic or if you exhibit this behavior, then we're not going to be able to spend time together. It's a hard thing to do because sometimes we love these people dearly. But you can still continue to love these people. You can love them deeply, and sometimes you need to love from a distance. You can continue to pray for them and pray fervently that God would change their heart because God is the only one who can change these hearts. We can do everything. All we can do is be faithful. We cannot control how anyone is going to respond to our instruction. We can hope that they respond a certain way, but the change only comes when the Spirit of God changes the heart. But as we look to the Bible, we can remember that even to our very last breath, there is hope for the fool. Even the fool that was on the cross next to Jesus, who had previously scoffed him with the other fool, he looks at the other scoffing fool and says, we deserved this punishment for what we did wrong, but this man is truly innocent. And he asked Jesus to remember me when you go into your kingdom. And Jesus says to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. When we turn to Jesus, there is hope for our folly. As we remember his sacrifice for us, that should help us move towards the way of wisdom. And as we get ready to approach the table of communion, those who are serving can come forward. We can remember that we do have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So whether we have been foolish or not, we can take comfort knowing that we have been forgiven. If we trust in Jesus, we have been forgiven. So as we approach his table, let's do so with remembrance and joy and also hope for the future that there will be a point where we are no longer tempted to folly, when the scoffers and the fools who are actively opposed to God will be no more. There will be no unrighteousness in the kingdom of God. Justice will be done and justice will be complete and perfect. And until then, let us hope and trust in the Lord. As we move to communion, you do not have to be a member here to participate in communion, but you do have to be a member of the family of God, meaning that you have placed your hope and trust in him and him alone for your salvation, and we gladly welcome you to participate. You can come down the aisles, receive the elements, walk back the side aisles. There's a gluten-free option if needed. Hold on to the elements, and then we'll all partake together after everybody has gone through the line. Let's pray. Jesus, may we continue to preach a message about the cross that is perceived as folly to the world, but we know that it is the power of God, that it is our only hope in this world. Help us to not live as fools. Help us to live wisely. Help us to not be enticed by folly. When we are tempted to sin, let us be quick to look to the throne of grace, to receive mercy and grace and help as we need it. Help us be wise as we go throughout the week, as we live our lives Help us seek out wiser believers who can warn us from the path of folly. And help us all be humble and quick to repent whenever we are tempted toward folly. As we approach your table, we look back in awe of the suffering that you experienced to accomplish our redemption, and we thank you for your sacrifice, and we look forward to the day when we will be able to truly worship you without any hindrance. In Jesus' name, amen.